writer himself, Mr. Mike Leventovitz. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. I am here, coming in. I just jumped off the coaster in time to do this call, hanging out here at SeaWorld with Katrina Gustin and her friends, or her family. We're at Tampa Bay Busch Gardens yesterday, and just having fun, man. You know, it's fun to be making the money. It's fun to go out and take some time with your family and spend it, too. So we're enjoying that and having a good old time here. All right, so, my gosh, we had, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were just walking into conference. Last week, we had people come out of the conference building momentum, and there's a lot of cool stories, improvements, growth, things that are worth highlighting with great teaching points. Like, there is so much we've got packed into this call today, and I'm hoping if you're here that you're taking notes. It's hopefully if you miss this, you're going to catch this when we put the podcast up. Because a lot of little basic things, but it's things when you start to use these little things as you are building your skill set, this has the ability to make you massive. So, a lot to do. And some shouts out to some people that, you know, if we had more time, shoot, I'd get them on this call. But I know that Ariel Bora, I believe this is her first two annuity applications she wrote yesterday. One for $10,000, one for $12,000, same home. And I know she started the process using, guess what, a green sheet. A green sheet that if you've not got one printed, if you've not seen one, you can get them on NAA University under Advanced Resources. In fact, Ariel just confirmed me, yes, these were her first two annuities. So congratulations to Ariel, not just for the fact that she wrote her first annuities, but she learned to use the process. And I know her client, she got on the phone with Chris North. I know she used the Book Me page. I think she might have even had a Zoom appointment where they had a video link where Chris was able to meet her clients by video, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, Ariel, congratulations for those that know her. If you're like, how did she do it, man? Feel free to call her and ask her. She should be able to confirm a lot of what I'm saying here, a lot of the tools that we're using. All right. Speaking of growth, line open.
No.
Scott Lafferty, do we have you on the call, and do we have your line?
Yes.
Okay, I think I heard, but I did not hear you clearly, Scott. Scott, let's try again. Are you?
I am here.
I'm kind of hearing you. I don't know if we're having an issue on the connection somehow. Try again, buddy.
I am here.
Okay, that was good. I heard that perfectly clearly. Okay, awesome. All right, well, Scott, let's do this, man. Tell people just a little bit about where you're from and kind of what you do full-time for work right now.
Okay, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and full-time I actually do real estate, have 5 houses to take care of. And
go ahead. How many do you take care of? How many properties?
5.
5 properties, okay. Gotcha. And are these multi-unit properties, or are they single-unit properties?
They're mine.
Are they multi-unit or single unit?
I have 4 single unit and then 1 multi-unit.
Okay, got it. All right, and how many units on the multi-unit property?
There's 4.
Okay, gotcha. So you got, well, that's like 8 different tenants that you've got to keep up with at any given time, huh?
Correct, yes.
Or maybe more if they got roommates. Okay. All right, so how long have you been a landlord?
Since I was 21 years old, now I'm 27, so 6 years.
All right, 6 years. Okay, cool. All right. So I've heard real estate's a great way to build money, but I've also heard it first, it's like very slow. It's like the revenue's kind of slow going until you really pay a lot of principal down on those properties you've got, and until you really amass a whole bunch of them. Is that kind of what you're seeing, or are you just raking in the cash and netting a lot of money?
No. I started out, my first house that I bought was $12,500. And after I bought that one, I actually used the money that I was getting from that house to buy my second house. And I was actually only putting about $125, $130 in my pocket after everything was paid per month. So
okay.
I kept building on that.
Okay. So some people say, well, man, if you got six properties, everything's going good, why would you need to do something else? Well, because you're putting a lot back in the business.
And you're not really netting a whole lot now. Now, once those properties are all paid for in like 20 years or so, you'd probably be doing okay, right?
Right, correct.
But you probably like to do things like other people do, like eat and,
yes,
and have
absolutely.
Water and air conditioning.
Okay. Right.
Which is why you're doing stuff with us part-time. Okay, got it. All right, so now let's take people back to when you first got started so they kind of understood, you know, some people would say how easy it was for you to get started with us. So, like, let's mm-hmm. take it back to when you started the class, because, you know, we talk about the people that finish the class fast and do it in 12 hours and take mm-hmm. the state exam 2 days later and pass, and how they just move quickly and kind of set the standard for people to shoot for. So was that your story? Were you one of them people that just came out of the gate and had your license in 3 or 4 days?
No, absolutely not. I did the online course pretty quickly. Maybe like 3 to 4 days, but I passed my health exam on the first try, but it took me 3 tries to do the life part of it.
Okay.
So
it was
about a 3-week process.
About a
3-week for me.
Process. Okay. So if it takes you longer, you know, we don't encourage it to take you longer, but if it mm-hmm. does, it's okay. There's still hope. We don't hold it against you. You can still win, and you're going to see some examples where Scott is winning today. So, all right, man. Well, good. So you got started, and describe, like, how fast to be, like, writing business and issuing a bunch of premium and closing all your first deals were you, Scott?
Okay, so I wrote an application on myself the day after I got my agent number and everything. And it was denied, so that was my first process of getting doctor's notes and stuff like that to try to get me approved. So right off the bat, I was kind of set back a little bit.
Okay.
And then I wrote an app on my mom. The next week, and of course, it got approved.
Okay, all right. And so, some people we see them get start a little faster, some a little slower, and it's okay. Now we've gotten you to a point. Let's kind of fast forward here over the last few weeks. So mm-hmm. you've gotten started what some people would call a
GMR, which is a steady lead order. It's like an automatic lead order. So you're getting a couple A leads every week. And since you got your GMR started, talk to us a little bit about what you've seen happen in your business now that you've got this GMR with the automatic A leads coming in every week.
Okay, so since I have the automatic A leads coming in every week, I don't have a dial date now. I just call the day that I get them. And I'm closing probably 50 to 60% of the issued leads that I get.
Okay, well, that's a big deal. Okay, so, and you know what? And to be clear, like, so he's not getting like 15 A leads a week, but how many A leads are on your GMR right now, Scott?
4 to 5, depending on the county.
Okay, about 4 or 5 A leads a week, so not a massive amount. But now, if you're wondering, mm-hmm. so if you're at an entry level contract, that's probably about $120 to $150 in leads coming in for Scott every week right now. Okay, and so that's what he's putting out. And so now if somebody said, hey, I'm putting out $100 with leads, $150, I'd say you're probably going to start to hit a point where you're bringing in about $600, $700, $800 a week, you know, maybe $900 a week, whatever it is, between $600 and $900 a week if you're working consistently doing that. That'd be about what I'd expect. Now, I know you just got your – like how many weeks in a row have you had your GMR going on, Scott?
I've had it for 3 weeks now.
So we're just getting started. So you're probably just starting to see things. How are you doing at getting things issued as you're writing them? How is your – field underwriting experience? What are you seeing right now?
So far I've had all my business issued, but they've all been plan right. So it's been, you know, I had the phone interview and that really helped me. So they've all gotten issued.
Hey, there's something to be said about when you do the plan right and you do the phone interview and they tell you your client qualifies for the immediate benefit and level death benefit. You're just like, yes! I mean, you can't say it like that. Even if you look at your client and say, it looks like you've been approved. Good job. You know, but then you like want to jump up and do a dance if you're like me.
Yeah, that's definitely,
I like that.
Definitely good.
Yeah, that instant gratification is a cool thing. For those that, you know, when you get that, it's like right there before you leave the house. It's kind of like, you know, not all products have the phone interview, but that's one of the reasons why we like PlanRight is that instant approval. Now, if you happen to be writing the CFG Dignified Choice and you're using the POS underwriting, which is using an app, you don't actually have to do a phone interview. It's also pretty quick, but you get that instant approval. It's a release, number one, you know, but also it's this level of certainty and confidence. Okay, everything's good. You can look your client in the eyes because we just got to wait for them to draft the first premium and complete the issuance, and we're good to go. So that's a big thing. So, Scott, I love that you've got the GMR. Love that you're taking advantage of it. Now, I want to jump forward to kind of what's been happening in the background and what's kind of come to a, you know, a big event or a watermark in your, a high watermark in your business with what happened yesterday. And let's even go back to this client that you met and let's talk real quick. How did you meet this client? Was this from a lead or was this someone that that you just met along the way? How did you meet this person?
I wrote an application on this person's mother off of a lead. So I got a lead to get in the household. And then once I got in the house, I wrote a plan right on the application on off of the lead. And then as I was sitting there talking, actually the mother's daughter was sitting there, and I started talking to her. And we tried to write a Forrester Smart UL on her because she was 23 years old. And
so we started to do that. And as you're doing that, what happened when you wrote that Smart UL application? Did that go through perfectly smooth, or what happened there?
No, it got denied. And once it got denied, I looked at the comments on it, and it was because of a blood thinner. So I went back to the house. And this was 2 days later. I went back to the house and started asking her, like, hey, why were you on blood thinner? You know, like, did something happen? And she brought it to my attention that she was in a car accident in 2015. And so she was on blood thinner because she had blood clots in her lungs. And, of course, there were some other issues, like with her back and stuff, that she had to take pain medication for. So I called the doctor that she had for that and got a medical release for that. And actually, once I got the medical release, I went back to the house for the third time to kind of, you know, finish up the application now that I got all the doctor information that I needed. And I come to find out that she actually got a settlement check and for $86,000. So she hadn't received it just yet, but, you know, I thought, man, she's 23 years old. Let's see if there isn't something that we can do with that. So I actually called you, and you gave me Chris Norris's number, and so I called him, and we talked about it.
Pause. Okay. Let's give him a little break now. We just covered a lot of stuff. Let's let them digest course one and two before we start to ram course three down their belly. Okay, so you said a lot, and I want to slow down. So first thing is you found mama through a lead. So you helped mm-hmm. mom out, you wrote a plan right, and then you got a referral. And then you didn't
right.
just get the referral. It sounds like you booked it, and then you wrote it. And it's about the time you were trying to celebrate that you got the referral, then you got the decline notice. So instead of having a pity party and crying, or maybe you did, I don't know, tell me. You can be honest, everybody. Did you have a pity party and cry when you got the decline notice, or were you still excited?
No, I mean, I wasn't excited, but I just knew that there was another way that I could do it.
Okay, so you did get a hold of me, and then, mm-hmm. like you said, you went right back 2 days later and,
mm-hmm.
and faced a client. I think, you know what, that's a big teaching point right there, because I'll be honest. I remember I had a client that got declined in my first year of business back in 2000. I had a pity party. I was scared. I didn't call the client back. I was like, they're not going to like me. I'm not going to call them. And I will confess, I was a mess. okay? And so then I remember getting a call like 2 months later from the client saying, hey, Mike, this is Mrs. So-and-so. And we got the letter explaining to my husband was, declined because of this and how we could have had another option if you'd come back and done this. And we're kind of disappointed that you didn't come back and help us. But we did get coverage with another carrier that was willing to work with us on that. And we really liked you. We're just kind of sad that you didn't care enough to come back and help us. Let's just say that stung. So I learned not to be afraid and not to worry about what they might think and worry about how they need help. So if you're like, if you've got a client and you're like, what are they going to think of me? I already learned from my lesson. Don't worry about your thinking about what they'll think of you because they're not. They want their problems solved. And if you'll be bold and brave and sweet and nice, more than likely they're going to want you to help them. So just heads up on that. So, Scott, good for you for being brave and bold, just getting back in there and not sitting too much and letting it, stink inside your head like I did. So you got back. You found out you called the carrier. You found out what the issue was. Then you went and you helped the client get it resolved by getting information because it turned out while it was a serious thing, we had a shot at getting it approved, and you had the point of getting it approved. Obviously, that didn't work out, but then in the process, you now found out about this $86,000. Okay, so now watch this. I think this is important. Look at all the things that happened. You learn how to order and work with leads. You learn how to book appointments with leads. You learn how to write up leads. You learn how to get referrals. You learn how to book referrals. You learn how to get someone declined. You learn how to go back and meet with a client, and you learn how to go back and talk with the underwriter about, hey, I had a decline, why, and what's going on. And then the process now, because you're serving the client, you found out something else big, which is that they're getting a check for $86,000. So that's kind of the fast forward on everything we just covered. That's a ton. Okay, so now talk. So cut time. Just like kind of talk to us more, Scott, about. So now you're there. You find out they've got $86,000. Did you fill out a green sheet? Did you just call Chris Norris? What were the steps you took at that point, Scott?
No, I filled out a green sheet that day, and I actually made notes on the bottom of the green sheet with the medication and stuff that she had. So I had a medication list there for me.
Okay.
And then once I did that, I emailed that to Chris Norris. We booked a phone call the next, I think it was 2 days from that day, and I made sure that I went back into the home for that phone call. So I was there with the client when Chris called me back. And then we kind of went from there, and I found out when the client was going to get her check because she hadn't received her settlement check just yet. So I had to figure out when she was going to receive that so that I could kind of get everything in place.
Okay, so you found out she was going to receive the check. So that was, when was that conversation or how long ago was it, when you found that out that the checks were going to be showing up at some point in the future?
About 3 weeks ago, because they the attorney had to hold it for 3 weeks. So I knew as soon as the attorney, got it that when she was going to be getting it, and that was this Monday that she actually received it in her possession.
Okay, got it. All right, so she got on Monday. So now, all right, and now it's a time. How do you think the meeting, talk about how the meeting, the first meeting went with you and the client and having Chris on the phone. I don't know, was that your first time having worked with Chris Norris in front of a client?
Yeah, it was my first time working with him at any point.
Okay.
I'd never spoken to him.
Okay, so what were the feelings or impressions you came away with after having him on the phone with your client for that first meeting?
Well, actually, to be honest, I was really nervous when I called him because from my standpoint, I thought it needed to be like an annuity or something where she could just stick all the money. But once I actually started talking to Chris, I realized, she's too young for an annuity. So we actually looked at different plans, different carriers that, we could do for her. So at that point, we were just looking at different carriers that we could use. which was the first time that I talked to him.
Okay, got it. Okay. And how would you say his relatability was with your client? So obviously he was there to help you figure out other options technically. How did you feel about his relatability with your client?
Well, this week, actually, I talked to Chris the past 3 days. I've talked to him every single day. So it's been an experience that next time I guess I won't hesitate to call him.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so let's kind of fast forward. So you ended up booking the appointment with the client, and I know we were trying to get a Zoom session set up so you could do video with the client. The client could actually see Chris. And I know that we settled on or identified that it looks like the National Life, the new Index UL product that we've brought on board through National Life Group or LSW. And if you hear us say National Life Group or LSW, it's the same company. National Life is your primary brand. And then one of the carriers, the non-New York carriers, Life Insurance Company of the Southwest. So that is the non-New York entity that does most of their volume, but it's all the same financial structure as the National Life Group, just so you know. But we end up looking at one of their IUL products because we like the guaranteed income stream that's available later on in life. And several of the features we thought would really make that product work well. So I know that Scott was on the phone with me, and this is my first time actually this week working closely with National Life and getting illustrations. And we found a guy, Steve Wallach, who was just super friendly, super responsive, gave us exactly what we needed in a couple different versions, did it in a timely manner, got us everything we needed. And when he did that, we were then able to have everything we needed in order to set up Scott and Chris so they had the illustrations. So then we had the time with Chris. Scott had the product illustrations. We knew the client had the money liquid. So, Scott, kind of walk us through a little bit about what the meeting was like yesterday. How smooth was it? Anything else you learned from the appointment yesterday or kind of give us some direction of what happened during that appointment yesterday.
Well, to take it back a day before that, I had to get I wasn't approved by them just yet, so I didn't have an agent code or anything. So I actually had to get apply with them, and so I had to call them yesterday to see if I could write the app. And,
okay, got it. So we had to make sure that the first time with any carrier, sometimes you need to make sure, hey, is this a carrier I can write without being appointed? In most cases, yes. But we made sure you had a paper app because we knew the e-app was not yet accessible. And
right.
You got permission, made sure you had permission, so that was good. Okay, so then you're there in the client. And so did you end up doing the Zoom session with Chris, or did y'all do a phone call? What did you end up doing there?
No, actually where I was at, the Zoom session wouldn't work. So we had to do a phone call on speaker.
Okay. I think that's important. Just, hey, remember this. Guess what? This wasn't perfect, and rarely will things be perfect. And so I learned a long time ago, there's this thing called the Beatitudes from my Catholic teaching, and one of them I heard more recently is kind of an addendum to that. It's called, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. So a good job for you for staying flexible and staying chill and keeping things move forward. And so then talk to me kind of about the next steps. So y'all laid out an option or a couple options. How responsive was was the client to Chris? How did everything go from there?
I'm ready to go.
It actually went really well. We had three different options over a 7-pay, a 10-pay, and 15 years. So we ended up choosing the 7th. I think it was the 15 years, and so it was really good. Chris actually was on the phone with us while we were filling out half of the application. He was going through the illustrations with us to kind of explain things to the client. So that was really helpful.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the option and, like, kind of what Chris's plan was. So she was getting a check for $87,000 or $86,000. So talk to me about kind of the overall plan. What did y'all decide to do?
Well, we actually decided to use $70,000, and she kept the $10,000. So then they're actually going to invest that for her. So we actually wired it today so that they're going to actually pay the premium through the investment plan. So she won't have to pay the premium. Like, we're going to do that for her. So that was her choice.
And I think that's a big thing. So watch this. Mm-hmm. So one of the features that we now have with Burlington Alliance Capital Management, as a money manager, a registered investment advisor, one of the powerful features is we can do some neat things to help out the client. Can you imagine if you gave a 23-year-old a big stack of money and said, here, you're going to need to remember to make a premium payment every year, the temptation to go spend the money or give it to a loan to a friend or anything else like that, that would be like a huge temptation, especially if you set out kind of a long-term plan. Well, in this case, both the client thought it was wise to give it to a money manager and this it put in their hands to help make the premium payments, but also, here's the cool thing, earn a good interest on the money while it's there in this plan. So she set up an IUL, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk quickly to kind of get out the clarity of this. We did it following what we call the tax-free retirement type of plans, where we did an increasing benefit, paying the maximum premium allowable over, in this case, we did, was it a 15-year window of time, Scott? Is that what we did?
Yes.
Okay. And how much is the annual premium on this deal?
$4,700.
Okay, so $4,700 a year. Not super, super massive, but the way we got it structured is definitely in the client's best interest. And so we've got, and we know $70,000 over 15 years is $4,700 a year, but the cool thing is, hey, this is probably going to grow interest, so if we choose to extend our contribution period with the extra money, we help her
put her in a position to win.
So that's something that we're going to be able to do behalf. But the key thing is that it is money being kind of protected from her and for her. She's got a beat an income free retirement. So that depending on what the cash value is, she'll be able to create a guaranteed lifetime income from this program, whether it's at age 60 or 55 or 65. She'll have that option once, the longer she waits, the more the money will grow, the longer that tax-free income scenario will be available for her. And that's really a cool feature. Scott, do you remember from the illustration, like, what one of the projections might have been for a guaranteed lifetime income stream for her at age 65?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay if you don't. I don't remember right this hand. I know you. Yeah. I looked at it a little bit as we were getting you and.
It's like. I think it was on the $70,000. I think it was 148,000
a year.
No, that's what she was going to have at age 60.
Okay, got it. Okay, so we can go back and look, but the key is that at that point that we create, depending on what that is, and in that number, there was what we call a guaranteed lifetime income that she could draw that would be tax-free. And depending, I think it might have been, I forget what it was, but I want to say it might have been like $20,000, $25,000 a year or something like that. So she might put $70,000 in, but within 3 years, she'll be able to pull out this guaranteed lifetime. $35,000 a year.
Yep.
Of an income. So basically she's putting in 70, but then at age 65 she'll be able to pull out $35,000 a year from there until she dies. That's huge. So that's kind of a cool thing. I mean, some people go work for 40 years just to have a pension like that. Here she's a little drop in $70,000 to be able to create something like that, which is pretty crazy. So, all right, so I want to recap on the process. So we able to get him the application. Chris is helping with the transfer of the money from the bank account into Burlington Alliance Capital Management. We call him BAM. But just, I just want to recap all the things that you've learned. And, you know, before we even do that, Scott, I want to talk about one of the things that I've seen you do here and do some more so in recent weeks. How many times a week have you been stopping by our office or at the hot spot or anything else like that over the last few months, Scott?
3 to 4 times a week.
Okay. Now, let's go back to when you first got started, like around February, March time frame. How often were you coming to the office from just being at the hot spot? Were you like a regular every week at the hot spot, or were you kind of maybe not so much?
No, I was at the very beginning, I was there a lot, and then after, you know, a while, I kind of drifted off. But, like, it was so bad that Lauren would have to call me and put me back on your schedule, like, because, you know, I wasn't staying in contact.
Were we mean to you when you came back? So I can't believe you missed last week's meeting. Did we say anything like that to you?
No.
You just said, man, we miss you. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
And we try to be as nice about it because we want people to be around. Man, we want people to feel good when they come back, not like a guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and so I tell people that because maybe you got an agent that's not doing the right thing. Maybe they're not calling from the home. Maybe they're not, you know, it's like, okay, what can we do to be nice and help them feel invited? Hey, maybe they'll just be smart enough to figure out that they're going to learn more the more they hang around. So I see it as no coincidence that you now have a GMR and are writing 60% of the leads you get and learning to work with Chris Norris and that you wrote this big deal. I know, I have no doubt it's because of the association that you're picking up and the work you're doing. Association plus work equals big results. So, dude, I'm super fired up for you. So if anybody picks up any one lesson, that's probably the biggest one. Hang out. Be around. Put yourself in a position to win. You say, but I don't make money when I'm hanging out. Well, yeah, I realize we don't hand you money just for hanging out, but the more you hang out, the more you'll learn, and as you put it into place, into work, the more you will make. It will make you money, I guarantee it. So good job, good job, good job. Let's recap the lessons and just the things we saw you do. So number one, we saw you start a GMR. We saw you learn to write, plan right and do the phone interviews and recognize that that got you, you know, instant confirmation and getting business issued. We saw you getting referrals, which is how you landed this big deal because you got a referral. We saw you not be afraid when you had a decline and go back and tackle it instead of sitting there crying and peeing on yourself and not doing anything. You went back to work and got after it. And you got help and you leaned on us more. That was massive. Then you found the money. You reached out to Chris Norris. You found out what a green sheet was. You learned how to use his BookMe page. You learned about IULs. You learned about, you know, tax for retirement. You learned about a new product that I don't even haven't learned as much about yet with the National Life Group. You learned about Burlington Alliance Capital Management and how to have money transferred, how to do a Zoom session because you hadn't hosted a Zoom session before, even though it didn't technically work. You've learned more about on how to do it if you need to do it again. Dude, you've learned so many things in the last few weeks that I think are massive. You learned how to set up a GMR. You learned how to work regularly on it. You learned how to make it work around your other busy schedule with your own business on the real estate side. So a lot of massive things that you've done, and I'm so proud of you for conquering, tackling, and it's just an example of when you, while things might seem very cumbersome and overwhelming, and how am I going to learn this? Just leaning on the team and doing it little bit by little bit, I know is what's helped you, and I'm just excited about where you're going to be able to take this based on everything you've learned in these last couple months.
And, you know, the plan right that I wrote today was off of the same lady, the mom of the daughter that I wrote. So that was actually 2 referrals off of the same lead.
Wow. So you learned you can get more than one referral from one household.
Yes.
That's big, too. Oh, shoot, man. Hey, I love it. 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 Oh, man, it's awesome. Okay, Scott, any parting thoughts, anything else you got on your mind as you're sitting here kind of looking back at everything, anything that you think we missed?
No, I just think the more you associate, the better off you'll be. And don't be afraid to pick up the phone.
Yeah, that's big. Oh, my gosh, that's big. We had somebody forgot to do their phone interview today, but luckily they texted me. They didn't call, but they texted me after. They said, hey, I wrote an app. I was like, good job, did you do the phone interview? Oops, no, had this problem. So, well, go back. And they went back and they got it done. So I'm proud of that person for again, at least they reached out, you know, as they were leaving the appointment. They technically had left, but they still kind of reached out
and we were able to help them get that phone interview done before they got all the way home and lost touch with the client. So, good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. So, Scott, I'm proud of you for that. And I believe we have our next guest here with us, or just about. I know she's been finishing up a phone interview herself with a client. And so I'm going to ask, because she may not have, she might still be dialing in, but do we have Rachel Burke on the line? Rachel, 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 do we have you on yet? Okay, she might not be there yet, and that's okay. Let's see. So here's what I'm going to do. And I hear Sherry, we've got an open line with some babies. I don't know who that is, Sherry. If you can help us manage our line quality. Thank you. Okay, while we're waiting for Rachel, because she literally is wrapping up and about to jump on, so she'll be on any second now. I'm sure she'll tell us when she is. But I want to talk about one other tool that we've got, and that's called a PM1000. So you heard us talk about a steady lead order. We can refer to it as GMR. It stands for Geographic Marketing Request. And basically it's an automatic lead distribution for you. It gets you to the front of the line. The company makes sure they're making more leads in your requested county to try to help fill your GMR. And it's a powerful tool. Helps put your lead investment and plan on autopilot, and it gets you discounts on what you're doing because you're a consistent provider. So with that said, a PM1000 is another tool. It's another way to step up. So if you're like, okay, Mike, hey, I'm feeling good. I feel like I know what I'm doing. If you've been writing business and doing well with your GMR, a PM1000 allows you to get $1,000 worth of leads with no money down, basically. We get you $1,000 worth of leads and give you 30 days before you start making payments on it. And even then, we stretch it out with like a 13-week, $80 a week or whatever it is, $85 a week, something like that, payment plan for that PM1000. You say, okay, so what's the point of that? Well, let's say you're at a point where you're just like, man, I'm going to do something big, but I don't have capital for a big chunk of leads. Okay, well, to qualify for a PM1000, we need to know that you've handled a GMR already, meaning that you've shown you know what you're doing with leads. We need to know that you know how to write business and that the system's working, you know, and that you've got some confidence in booking appointments and writing business. So once you're kind of at that point, we can authorize a PM1000 for you. So PM1000 gets you a good chunk of quality leads all at one time, and you could go hog wild, banshee crazy and book 20, 25, 30 appointments in that 1 week. Okay? And when you do that PM1000, that can have massive results. And so I know this week I think I've seen, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6. I just got another email from someone else setting up a PM1000 this week. And I know some people coming back from conference like, okay, I'm ready to make a big move. And so I think I've seen some names just call out that I know have done one. I think includes like Tad Peterson. And let me, I've got to get my mind right. Who else did PM1000s? I believe that we had Jeff Wilhelm set one up. Kimberly Wells has had one set up, and I'm probably overlooking one or two more. So if I'm overlooking you and you set one up, I apologize. But this is just in the last few days that I've seen some of these PM1000s get done and get approved. So I know these guys are looking to make a run hard, fast, do a bunch of good stuff. So I'm excited for those folks. So I'm talking about it because as a tool, it could be awesome for you. Like, here's one of the things. Oh, John Lehman. That was another one. John Lehman set up another PM1000. And here's the idea. You could just kind of keep your GMR going when you're done and enjoy that surge in cash. Here's something else you could do. You could flip the GMR. Like, you get the money in, turn around, put that $1,000 in commissions. You'll probably earn more than that because you do $1,000 worth of leads. You should write $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 worth of premium on a PM1000. Or way more than 1,000 commissions, but pay that lead balance back and turn around and do another one. Or now you've got more confidence. Maybe you increase your GMR, so now you've got a steady GMR roll. And so the PM1000 is a massive tool that you can run with. So if you've got questions on that, that's one where I'd book an appointment. I'm at book an appointment with the lead performance team. Book one with your agency manager if it's Mickey Cruz or Junior or Joseph Dukes or Paul Epstein or Newell, whoever it is, you have the ability to learn to leverage that tool and let that be a massive impact in your business when you're rolling. All right, so let's see. Rachel, do we have you on yet? All right, I know she's just about done that client's interview, and she's supposed to be dialing on. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so our topic with Rachel, I'm going to go ahead and share some of her story as she's jumping on. Rachel's been a person that's been telling me for weeks, months, I need to get better referrals. Well, she finally did, and she's gotten systematic about it, and she's got it, and she is getting results. And, in fact, I think the app she just wrote, if I'm not mistaken, might be for another referral. We're going to find out here in a second. So I hate to keep everybody waiting, but I'm going to keep covering things. Let's see. All right. I had another topic I wanted to hit on, too, while I'm waiting. I'm going to weave this in. I was going to do it when we were done with Rachel, but let me go ahead and hit this now. Okay, so we talked about GMRs. We talked about PM1000s. Oh, annuities. Okay, we talked about green sheets a little bit. In case somebody doesn't know where to get a green sheet and you're finding money, the way you go to get a green sheet is you go to NA University, click on Advanced Resources. It'll ask you to log in with your agent number. And when you're there, you will see the green sheet listed. It's a PDF file, print it out, carry it with you. It don't have to be green. It can be on white paper. You can put it on green paper if you like. Bottom line is, remember to fill it out when you're with a client, when you find out they've got income or assets. It will help you. And then from there, the next step is to make sure you are tapping into Chris's schedule using his BookMe link. Make sure you've got his phone number or aren't afraid to call him. So those are some things just to keep in mind. Now, we do have Rachel on the line now, so let's make sure we've got Rachel's line open up. Rachel, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Coming in loud and clear. Awesome. Rachel, all righty. Well, good. So, Rachel, here's the big thing everybody wants to know. So did you just get the check from the family you were sitting with?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. All good. All right. That's all right.
It's been a process. Lots of investigation.
Been a process. Okay. All right. Was this a warm market client, or is this a lead?
This was actually a doorknock. I got two appointments today from this family from a doorknock. It was the mother and then her daughter and husband.
Now, was it a lead that you doorknocked, or was it a referral?
It was a lead that I doorknocked. Yep.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's sweet. Okay. Good. All right. All right. Well, so first thing is, Rachel, let's just so people know who you are, let's go ahead and tell them, like, where you're from and kind of what you're doing when you found the Alliance and when you got started.
All right. Well, hello, guys. I'm Rachel Burke in Springfield, Missouri. I'm hired by Nick Secord, and I've been with the Alliance for a year and a half and a little over that now. And prior to this, I was a full-time teacher, and then when I first started, I was part-time with the Alliance and working as a substitute teacher full-time.
Okay. All right. Strong. Okay. So now talk to me about how good you have been with referrals prior to 3 weeks ago.
Prior to 3 weeks ago, I was basically 0 out of 10. I didn't feel super confident about calling referrals. Didn't exactly have I had notes and things from Jasmine Lightborn's call a few, probably about a year ago, but just hadn't really seen the benefit of calling referrals because I hadn't really done enough of it. So I honestly just kind of would put them on the back burner, call through my leads, and would just occasionally call referrals and give them the ERS information, but not really try to get appointments with them.
Okay, got it. Okay, so kind of going through the motions, kind of like, so if we said, are you getting referrals, you could say, yeah, I am. Shut up and get off my back. Will you like to get off my back referral getter?
Pretty much.
I got him. Shut up and leave me alone, Mike. Just give me some more leads.
check. I did what I was supposed to do.
I don't want to call them. Heaven forbid I should actually learn how to write business and help more families and become more profitable for my own family. Just let me alone. Let me be a lead junkie.
Pretty much.
I don't want to improve. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. Let me crawl into a bug and be like a little roly-poly and just roll around. Okay. All right. So guess what? If you're feeling that way, maybe you'll relate to Rachel. We're being real here. Is it okay if we keep it real, Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay. Hopefully everybody else don't mind either. Okay. So that's how you've been feeling. So now let's go ahead and let's just kind of give a quick snapshot of the results over the last couple of weeks. So, like, how many referrals have you gotten from asking? How many have you booked appointments with? And how many have you sat with? Just if we go over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
So I don't have the total of referrals I've had over the last 2 weeks. That was a number I did not get that written down. But I've had 14 referral appointments in the last 2 weeks. And I sat with, I sent the number to you earlier. What was it, like eight or nine of those families I sat with. And then
that
I helped five of those.
Five families. Okay, that's big. All right, so you helped five families. So, and if you do an average premium and you work it out, it's probably going to be an extra $5,000 in premium if you're doing average size deals. And whether you are or not, you know, don't matter. But, hey, that's awesome. So helping five extra families in a two-week span because you're getting referrals. Now, about how many, best guess, about how many referrals do you think you collected to book the 14 referral appointments? You know, or how many families or households did you get the referrals from? Do you remember anything in terms of order roughly?
I mean, probably five families. I mean, actually, most of those referral appointments, though, a lot of them came from, like, three different customers. Because most of my customers, I get, you know, 5 to 10 referrals from each one. Most of those are going to be local people. So I would say that the majority of those appointments have been just from two or three families that gave me referrals.
Okay, got it. All right, so you got referrals from about three families, and out of those, well, you got 5 to 10. So maybe you got, let's just say, 25 referrals. You booked 14, sat with 8, and it helped 6. That's pretty good. Okay, all right, so with that, talk to me, what changed? What made you actually take the action on calling them now that you're getting them?
Well, several different things. First of all, talking to people throughout the last few months, actually. When I was on the jet with Andy in March, Andy actually threw sugar packets at me at breakfast. When I told him that I was getting referrals and not calling them, I deserve the sugar packets to be thrown at me, okay? So that was kind of the first eye-opener, like, wow, okay, this is pretty important. He said these are the most valuable leads that you have, these and your current clients. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I would love to say that I made the change then, but I did not. Sometimes things need repetition before they stick. A big one for me was back in May in Hawaii. I had a van ride with Katrina, Les, Junior, Elena, and Justin Balick. And Justin was super helpful, gave me a lot of tips on what to say to customers, what he says to them in order to book the appointment. One of the things he does is he calls and gets their address. So he basically, he gives them the ERS information and said, hey, you know, your sister or your brother had a few people they really wanted me to send some information to, and you're one of them. What's your address here in Springfield? Because I always ask what city they're in, but a lot of times they don't have their address. If they have their address, I write that on my referral. But if I don't have the address, I just write down what city they're in. So then I'm able to say, what's your address here in Springfield? And then they give it to me. I mean, I would say 9 times out of 10, they'll give me the address. So that was a game changer because then I'm able to at least door knock them when I'm in their area if I can't get the appointment with them. So that's really been awesome. And then family reunion, I talked to Nathan Thomas, and he told me about how much business he's writing from referrals and current clients. So that, again, repetition, all these people telling me, you need to do this. And then a couple weeks ago, I had a customer that, this has been a big game changer for me. So whether or not I sell a policy to the person I'm sitting with, I'm always asking for referrals. I'm always saying, is there a family member or is there someone here in this area that you know of that might just need some information on insurance? you know, and I hear the things that I do for families. And I've been getting several referrals, even if I haven't sold to that person. This one lady, her name is Marie, she's in her 80s, and I wasn't able to help her, but her daughter lived next door. And Marie was a little hesitant about giving me her information, but she said she lives right next door to me. I said, okay, well, I'm going to pop in and say hi. And so I did, and I was able to help Karen and Alan. Their policies were going to go up to a total of $500 a month. They're on fixed income. And I was able to get them whole life policies at the same price, basically, as what they're paying now for these terms. So it was,
wow.
That was a real eye-opener for me, like, wow. And then she called her mom while I was in the appointment with her and thanked her mom for sending me over. Her mom thought that she was going to get upset. Because she was like, hey, you sent that insurance lady to my house. And her mom actually started apologizing because she had her on speaker. I heard the whole conversation. And she's like, no, no, Mom, I'm thankful that you sent her over. If you wouldn't have, we would have been paying a lot of money later on. So yeah. That was a real eye-opener for me. And I've gotten several other referrals from her and her husband. I've already helped her, their grandson and their baby and his fiancé. And I helped her sister, and I've already had a few other appointments, too, from their family members. So it's real. Oh, and I signed up a guy last night for class who is best friends of their grandson. So here's how it continues to trickle down. So I sold to them, sold to their grandson. His best friend, I went to meet him. He is about to lose his job and very thankful and thinks that this is a godsend that I came to talk to him yesterday. He signed up for class while I was there, and I found out that he is best friends to my husband's stepbrother. How crazy is
crazy.
That?
Crazy. That is crazy. Okay, so you just gave a preponderance of evidence of you helping out, and notice how it kind of really, like one of the things is it started with one family where you got a teeny bit bold. Because she was acting like, well, I want to replay this. And people have just kind of picked up. What I heard was, well, here's their address. I don't know about the phone. They just kind of live next door. I don't really want you to bother them. We said, well, shoot, I'll go over and introduce myself. And so you did. A thimbleful of boldness. You end up serving them. The mom and dad were all apologetic, thinking that you went over to bother them. Whereas the daughter and son-in-law were just totally fantastically thankful that you did. And because of that, when mom heard that, she all of a sudden now it's like the floodgates are open. Now she's telling everybody about you.
Yeah.
So I think that's massive. And so for people hearing this, it's like, okay, now does that mean that every client that you have that you get a referral from and go visit is gonna explode like that? No. But if you'll take enough swings at the plate and go for bunts and singles, some of these doors will open up like that. Just like with Scott, the door opened up. He helped the mom, led the daughter, and it didn't go right at first because the daughter got declined. But he hung in there, found out part of the reason for the decline was this auto accident that led to an $87,000 settlement check, which led to $70,000 being deposited to BAM. So that stuff is huge. And just understanding it's going to take a little bit. The other big thing I heard was repetition. In your case, the repetition came about because of your commit to association, Rachel. Here's what I heard. You heard it when you made time to get around Andy on a trip. You heard it when you were in Hawaii and you made time instead of just partying, asking business questions. You heard you got more at family reunion. Three big times with different people you spent time with asking questions, knowing you need to get better, combined with taking action. So association plus work leads to results. And that formula, association times work, leads to results. And if we get more people seeing that, whatever it is you're trying to get better, whether it's better at annuities and green sheets, better at your appointment setting skills, better at your in-home process, whatever it is you're trying to get better at, understanding that simple rule of association times work is going to make you awesome. Rachel, I'm thankful that you got on. I'm hoping people get this audio and come back and listen to it because there's so many layers and tidbits that we've got in here. And if somebody's looking to get better, hey, man, reach out to Rachel. She's out there in Van. You can contact her. If you know where she lives, great. Find her, get her number, give her a shout. And I'm just thankful for you, Rachel, for showing up and being part of this call here. So everybody, Look, let's rock on. Thanks for
guys
for being here. Yes. Go ahead, Rachel.
I was just going to say thanks for having me on the call.
Absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate you being here. Let's keep hammering down. Let's make this a massive month. We got people doing some big things here in June, and look for more contest details along with Andy's Dog Days of Summer, Summer Slam. Noel and I will be putting out our contest totals to help identify more people on the team that make August a big month. Everybody take care. We'll catch you all later. Bye.